This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this month is taken from a tract that was published back in November of the year 2020. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And it is taken from the scripture found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The title of the message is, Thou Hast Left Thy First Love. Now, the message for this month comes at a critical time for our nation. For in a few days, the people of this nation will, if they haven't already, go to the polls to make a decision as to who will lead this nation for the next 4 years. Now, while we have been doing this ever since this nation was established, the results of the decisions we make in this election will seal the fate of this nation as to whether it will continue to be the greatest nation that has ever existed, or if it will suffer the same fate as other great nations in the past, by continuing to decline into obscurity. Why do I say this? Because if you will consider the polar opposites of the two candidates that are running for office, you will see the differences between them is as the difference between night and day. To the average person, all they see is two parties trying to retain or get control of the reins of power in this nation so that they can lead it to the vision that they have set for it. However, speaking specifically to Christians, you should know that your choices will be a very dire consequence if, as a lot of my good Christian brothers and sisters have been saying, they vote according to the information we all get bombarded with every day. Anytime, day or night, you can turn on the TV, radio, go on the internet, get text messages, listen to family and friends, pick up a newspaper or whatever else, and there, staring you in the face or invading your hearing, is evidence of the chaos this nation is experiencing leading up to this election. Up until 2016, most of these election cycles, though a little contentious, never got to the point where people were resorting to violence and mayhem to essentially influence people to vote the way they want them to vote or else. What sparked this action centered on the fact that a man that no one thought had a chance of defeating a woman who was well seasoned in government, popular with a lot of women, men, and other communities, managed to not only defeat her, but essentially did it by such a large margin that he essentially made the establishment, the news media, the pollsters, and others look like fools after they were guaranteeing that she would win in a landslide. Their response to having egg on their face was to start a campaign of spreading lies, false accusations, and rumors that struck at the core of our system, that somehow the system is corrupted and the man that won the election had help from foreign powers, namely Russia and the Ukraine, and who knows who else, all leading up to a sham impeachment trial in which he was impeached after months of investigating into his dealings with foreign countries, the rich, and others, which at the end produced nothing worthy of this process, but they did it anyway. The thing about this farce is that it was conducted by one party only. That party, my friends, was the Democratic Party. As if that wasn't enough, they continued to come up with one thing after another, trying to discredit him so that they can have a chance to win in this election. But not only were they doing this, they launched a campaign of rebellion against a system that, in their minds, was against them and what they wanted to do by telling their supporters to take to the streets and get in their faces. What this meant to a lot of their followers was tantamount to declaring war, not only on the man, but on all of those in his administration, including their families, but also on those that voted for him. Now, I didn't use the man's name because it is not really the issue I am addressing on this message, but it could have been anybody. What I want you to focus on is first what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus and compare it to what is happening today in this country. In his address to this church, Jesus starts out complimenting them on the good things that they had been doing up to a point. Read verses 1 through 3. However, in the subject verse, he mentions the one thing he has against them, and that is, you have left your first love. In order to understand what he is saying, you will have to consider the fact that as a church, our foundation is based on the mission that Christ fulfilled when the Father sent him here to give his life as a sacrifice for us, so that we could avoid the eternal damnation that all of us faced had he not done it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You find that in St. John chapter 3, verse number 16. It is because of this action by God that those of us that are born again accepted his love for us and in turn made him the focus of our love. Truly, no person could love us more than he has, and as a result, we have pledged our lives to love him by being obedient and faithful to him. That is what true love is all about. So what we have here is the first love of every Christian is to be God or Jesus Christ. When Jesus says that they have left their first love, he is saying that they have left the Father and him. Well, how did they do this? They did it by switching their love for God first to love for themselves or someone else. If you truly believe, as the song says, can't nobody do you like Jesus, then why switch to someone else who can't do anywhere near what he can do for you? The problem lies with the man in the pulpit. He is supposed to be God's anointed, and as such, everything that comes out of his mouth is supposed to be authored by God through the Holy Spirit. Consequently, whatever he says, the people that love God are to take it as something that they are to do, because this is God speaking to them. So then, the pastor, as far as the Christian is concerned, is Jesus Christ's ambassador, and as such, is to be obeyed. Now, if you noticed, I said the man in the pulpit is supposed to be God's anointed. The thing is, over the decades, people have become pastors, bishops, and such that have absolutely no such anointing. And with that being the case, they are not representing God. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 2. And if they are not representative or representing him, there is only one other entity that they could be representing, and that is the devil. I don't care what intentions a person might have. if God hasn't anointed them to be doing what they are trying to do, then you need to steer clear of them. But that is hard to do if you don't know or recognize what the actions of this individual are telling you. It's like looking at a message warning you of imminent danger that is written in a foreign language that you don't understand. The church at Ephesus, like so many churches today, started out firing on all cylinders. Like Jesus said, they had it all together. But as time marched on, and leaders died, and new ones were installed, there was a slight shift which was barely noticeable, away from the things of God to the things of the world. The Bible tells us in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 15, it says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes." What this means is that the spoiling of something that is strong and impervious to an all-out direct frontal attack can be gotten to by the tiniest things that may accomplish its destruction over the course of a few weeks, months, years, or longer. Let's face it, if any preacher, politician, entertainer, or some other popular individual came up to you and proclaimed that God told them to tell you that abortion, the gay lifestyle, and other things that the Bible lists as being sin were now acceptable, you would, if you are a spirit-filled Christian, you would reject that information outright. You would recognize it as a trick of the devil. However, if over the course of several years you were being taught by these same people bits and pieces of information that were slowly breaking down your defense, sort of like how cancer invades and slowly destroys the body over the course of several months or years, until one day the end result would be death. This is how the church at Ephesus and much of the church today in this nation have come to the place where they have essentially turned away from God and started pursuing and embracing things that they shouldn't be. It happened when they began appointing leaders that had all sorts of degrees in the eyes of the public and were a source of bringing more money into the church. The fiscal condition of the church began to take precedence over what God says. Church leaders began to ignore certain passages of Scripture because they were a distraction that would cause a lot of people in the congregation to find another place to attend to give their money to. Along with that, you have the fact that people tend to want others to like them, so they do what they feel will accomplish that. This means that they seek approval from them by essentially giving them what they want. And what they want is someone that will say to them, everything is fine, God loves you, and no matter what you may be guilty of, He will forgive you. So eat, drink, and be merry. The fact is, however, God will forgive you only if you repent. This carries with it the action of turning away from whatever it is you're doing. He is not going to arbitrarily forgive you without that. And so, as time marches on, those that are supposed to be the leadership in the church begin to get further and further away from what the mission of the church is. And that mission is to tear down the strongholds of the enemy so that the people can be free to serve the Lord. What we have today, as back then, are churches that, for lack of a better word, are reinforcing those strongholds and giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Of course, they don't see it like that. What they see is they are showing love and compassion to everyone as they feel Christ has directed the church to do. However, because they have gone astray, they have become blind to one simple fact. That fact is their actions are going to cost those that they are showing love to end up in eternal damnation because they have forgotten that repentance is the key that unlocks the door of God's forgiveness of the individual. Salvation is based on accepting the sacrifice Jesus Christ made by the shedding of His blood for our sins. His death, burial, and resurrection accomplished were the key to opening up the door to God's forgiveness. But in order to get in, you have to forsake your sinful ways and make Him Lord of your life. And as such, He becomes the focus of your love and obedience. Now, if Jesus went through all of this to set you free from sin, then He wouldn't turn around on later on and begin accepting someone on any other grounds than He did previously. Everything is built on repentance. Now, let's look at what is going to happen on November the 3rd. This nation will elect a person and congresspersons to run this country for the next 4 years in the case of the president. Tied into this is the fact that one party wants to lead the nation on a path of total rebellion against God, while the other wants to lead it back to right standing with Him, or righteousness. Righteousness can only be attained by repentance. So what we have essentially is a choice between God and His laws versus man and His laws. The outcome of this election rests solely on those that promote a message that relays what God says about our problems and whether we have a church that is still in love with Him or one that has left Him for worldly pleasures. The outcome could seal the fate of this nation for eternity. Well, that is the end of our message. And as of the time when this message was first published, we were going to be voting the next month in November of 2020 for a new president. Well, it just so happens at the time that this message is being put on audio, this is October of 2024, and in about a month we're going to be doing the same thing again. And I tell you, with what all is at stake, with what all has been happening after 2020, when the Democrats won the White House by unscrupulous means, by that I mean, you know, using, basically what I would say is I believe they stole the election, and there's enough evidence spiritually if you examine everything and how everything went. And look at other circumstances that were all tied into this. That is exactly what they did. And now we're up against the same situation where the man that lost the election in 2020 is running again for the office of president, and this same political party is busy doing the exact same things it was doing back when it was during the campaign for the 2020 elections, and that is lies and rumors and innuendos and false accusations, plus several attempts on the man's life, where he was wounded once, and in two other times people were caught before they could actually do anything, but they were set up, had things set up waiting for the opportunity to take him out, but they were caught and arrested. All of this stuff is all part and parcel of what this political party tends to go through, primarily because of the fact, if you look at it, all of the lies and things that they have perpetrated on this man, which if you go back and look at all of the evidence, you'll see that the vast majority of everything that they have against him is false, half-truths, and, you know, it's just something that has made people so angry at the man that people are actually trying to assassinate him to keep him from getting back in office again. And this is a man who, in my opinion, was anointed by God to be in that position that he was in 2016 to set up the necessary conditions that ended up with the overturning of the monumental abortion law, Roe v. Wade, and send it back to the states. And see, most, irregardless of what all you hear from the Democratic Party about supposedly the economy being bad and everything else, all of that stuff is just plain outright lies or manipulation by the Democrats, because they know most of the people that follow them if they follow them, they don't listen. The people don't listen to any other news sources but the ones that the Democrats say that they need to listen to get their information from. And you know what that means? They're being indoctrinated. And so the people are getting indoctrinated to basically form opinions against this man that basically threaten his life. And then they want to act as if they got to get to the bottom of why, how it is that the person was able to, in one instance where the president, where the man was wounded while giving a speech at a rally, they want to act as why was the Secret Service not doing the job it's supposed to be doing, even when spectators at the rally for this man pointed out the fact that there was a man with a gun on the roof of a building some distance away, and the Secret Service and the police and things didn't do anything about it until after the man had fired several shots at the man running for president, which was Donald Trump. And it wound up, one of the shots wound up killing an innocent bystander, so to speak. And another bullet just grazed his ear. But see, all of this stuff was put in place or orchestrated or essentially initialized by the Democratic Party. And now here we are getting ready to get into another election, and we're going to see what happens this time. I would suspect that they probably have some other tricks up their sleeve to win this election, especially when the one that's running against him, quite frankly, has proven. She says one thing one minute, so she's been running on one thing for all the time while she's the sitting vice president. She held positions that were favorable to the working people and so forth while she was in office. But at the same, while she was, you know, during the administration, while she's still in that office, she's flip-flopped on everything that she said and then acted like she never did say it or she done changed her mind or something like that. Who wants a presidential candidate like that but a fool? And then we got plenty of them out there. But anyway, enough said about this. So this is Evangelist George McTyre closing the message out. And as usual, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good till we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.